You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
When it comes to human systems, strength generally begets strength, and weakness in any form is generally costly. Only with God does it work the other way.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, creator of the world and author of all strength, help us in all our weakness to accept your grace and to receive your strength. Give us to see that the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are unseen are eternal. Lead us to the streams of living water that we may drink in your grace and be satisfied. In the name of Jesus our Savior, amen. Weakness is an embarrassing handicap. The weak only die. So do the strong, by the way. Not uncommonly, they die before the weak. Such is human life with its catastrophic reversals. It is all weakness in the end, as human history and the events of these days amply demonstrate. Is there no way out of this human syndrome? The weakness that frustrates, the strength that turns out to be weakness in the end. The way out was discovered by a man who dramatically found out what life is all about. It is not taking the road to self-improvement advocated by so many people today. It is not leaning on powerful people who may be able to share some of their strength with you. The strength is in God, and he shares it with people by his grace. The man who found us out was Saul. He met God one day on the road. A voice spoke to him out of the blinding brightness that had struck him down to his knees. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? The answer came back from the man who thought he was strong. Who are you, Lord? The answer came back loud and clear. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. That's God talking. It's the way God talks to our world. He discloses himself in his Son, Jesus Christ. His Son speaks for him. His Son acts for him. His Son died because God, his Father, wanted him to. He died for all the weakness that is in the world, causing people in their desperation to go their own way, to depend upon themselves, and to meet the end that weakness always brings, which is death. Jesus said to Saul, "Get up on your feet and live. I will give you a new life and a new name. You will go protected by me. I want you to open the eyes of people, to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may have forgiveness of their sins and inheritance with all those who have ever believed in me." That man found a new life in Jesus Christ. He was still a man with all the weaknesses people have. In Jesus Christ, he found strength. As Paul himself put it, God said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." That understanding of life came to this man Paul in response to prayer. It wasn't exactly what he had prayed for. He prayed that some special weakness, the exact nature of which has never been quite clear, might be removed from him. Three times he asked the Lord to remove it. And finally, this is the answer he got. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. A lot of people since that time have discovered the same thing. When God stands by you, you can take anything. You didn't think yourself that you could take it, but you can because God is there with his grace, and that's mighty strong. I know this sounds strange to people who have never discovered it for themselves, or having heard about it, never tried to live by it. It doesn't seem as if it will work. It sounds like a dream. Where is God when the going really gets tough? It's all right to believe in him when things are going well, but what about the trouble and the torment? St. Paul said, that's when he really comes through, when you haven't anywhere to turn and there is no way out. There is God and his grace. My grace will come through, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. I don't know of any other area of life where this would be true. In basic engineering systems, it's quite the other way around. The output center of energy is where the energy is the greatest. The weakest sort of energy is always farthest from the source. People go to the man who's sitting on top of the heap when they look for strength. Here it's different, said Paul. You take a man like me, with pronounced weakness that everybody knows about. In that weakness, the strength of God gets a chance to show itself. That's the way his grace works. That very weakness, empowered by the grace of God, becomes a new source of strength, not only to the man himself, but to everybody around him. Everywhere else, weakness has within it the seeds of failure. Weakness in education is something that a lot of people have had to struggle to overcome, and most of them feel that they've never quite succeeded in that. Weakness in marriage usually results in trouble, and sometimes in outright deterioration of the marriage relationship. A weakness in business or in market research can result in the loss of a lot of money. Weakness in child raising very often results in a poor adult product. In human systems, strength generally begets strength, and weakness in any form is generally costly. Only with God does it work the other way. That's because he is God. It takes a lot of human beings a long time to get that idea. This is more than just an idea. This is God, of whom the singer of Israel said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. The great high mountains look strong, but they have a fatal weakness. They flake off and weather away. In time, the mass of the mountain becomes the soil of the plain below. The way God works things, that weakness of the mountain becomes a new strength. The minerals of the mountain are dissolved and provide food for the growth of plants down below. Those mountain particles support the life of a luxuriant landscape down below. That's the way God does things. It should not surprise anybody, therefore, that God can turn weakness into strength. On a very elemental level, he does it for you all the time. You get cold out in the wintry wind. You begin to shiver because of the friction between muscle cells caused by the shivering. Heat is restored and your body gets warm again, able to take the temperature all around you. When I was a boy in Minnesota, I remember going out skating in 30 degree below zero weather. We would stay out until our ears got bitterly cold, maybe 5 minutes, and then go into the warming house before they got frostbitten. We stayed there until our ears were warmed up. Then we could go out again and skate all evening without any earmuffs at all. What was originally a weakness, in the warmth of that little house with its blazing stove, became a strength, which others who did not know that little secret probably had trouble understanding. The secret of turning weakness into strength is the warmth of God's grace. I see it working all the time when I visit people who are very sick in the hospital or going through troubled times in their lives. Without the grace of God, they have a cold feeling in the pit of their stomachs, and they talk as if a great burden is weighing upon them. It helps just to have someone come and talk to them of the grace of God. If they have known the grace of God in their lives, it helps to be reminded again. If they've never known God before, as some have not, They begin to get the idea that gave Paul a new lease on life. My strength is made perfect in weakness. My grace is enough, and it will do for you what nothing else can do. We're all weak because we're all human. We all need the grace of God. You do, and so do I. I hear men with weakness talking to me. And you hear men with weakness talking to you. The man with weakness talking to me says, "This answer I got from him. My grace is sufficient for you, because my grace is made perfect in weakness." It's the word I bring to you today. It's the word of God. How do you find the grace of God? What do you have to do to get it? Paul's answer to that one is about as clear as anything can be. It's the one thing he kept talking about all the time. The grace of God comes from God and from him alone. It is his to give, and he gives it without any strings attached. Unless you take it that way, you don't have it at all. How do you find the grace of God? You find it as Paul found it, in Jesus Christ. Paul found that out for himself, and so must each one of us. This is grace, Paul said, that though Jesus Christ was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. That's the way God does things, sending his son as a real man to die a real death like the one we have to die. In that death of his, there's redemption, atonement for human sin, ransom from the ills that affect us and the weaknesses that afflict us, and reconciliation with the God who has every right to pass judgment on each one of us in Jesus Christ. The grace of God. That's why repentance is such a painful and heart-rending thing. It's a man or woman, a boy or girl, giving up and going to God for grace. It's somebody realizing that self-reliance is not the thing, but the forgiveness of God is. It's man turning to God for one reason and one reason alone. God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and plenteous in redemption. Repentance is a kind of dying. It is described that way in the scriptures. A lot of people don't like to die that way. It offends them to have to admit that they can't make it on their own. But that's repentance. It is turning to God for salvation in a desperate situation. God's grace is sufficient. It is sufficient for every weakness. It makes strength possible because that's the way God's grace works. God has taken us, accepted us in Jesus Christ. Trapped as we are in the fatal weakness of our fallenness, and in the midst of that weakness, he bears the strength of his holy arm. It is the call of the Christian gospel everywhere, to men everywhere, not only to confess their profound helplessness, but to accept his grace. To look to him as the source and generating center of real strength. Acceptance of the grace of God is faith. The moment you get the idea that God means you when he says in his Son, Jesus Christ, "I have redeemed you," you have got that great quality which the Bible calls faith. By that faith, you are saved, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should have to depend upon the things of which he himself can boast. Faith in God, trust in him, acceptance of his grace, looks like weakness to a lot of people. To God, it's the beginning of strength. To a man, it's the beginning of the same thing. God looks to you for faith. That's what he wants from you. He invites your faith by his grace. You have my word for it. Oh, much better than that. You have his word for it. He wants to forgive you and to give you strength. Turn to God. Turn away from yourself and turn to God. Receive his strength. Weakness is a humbling fact of life. We all have it, and we all suffer from it. Right there is God's opportunity. He takes that weakness and turns it into strength. He does that by his grace. You may always have that weakness, but his grace makes it good and even great. Here's a man who has failed. As he tries to struggle back, the fear keeps coming over him that he will fail again. It affects almost everything he does. The dominating memory of that former failure and the fear of its repetition make it almost certain that he will fail again. Think of the lonely and insecure person who suspects that others are avoiding him. He withdraws from contacts with others in response to that fear, and finally winds up in embittered isolation and crabby inability to see anything good in others or to do anything productive himself. Think of all the people in the world who feel guilty. First comes the offense, then the pressure of guilt that attends the offense. Rationalizing that guilt and maybe even trying to justify it, finally a man makes things worse by just repeating the offense. The last state of that person is worse than the first. Going it alone is not going to solve the situation. That so-called strength turns out to be fatal weakness. That conformity to the world produces only failure. Why not break out of that trap right now? God provides the solution to your problem, whatever it is. By His grace, it is the hardest solution in the world to accept, but it is the only one that really works. It means turning around 180 degrees, away from your own methods of handling your life and manufacturing your destiny, building your future, or captaining your fate. It means turning around and giving up to God. God waits with His strength. His grace is sufficient. His strength is made perfect in weakness, whatever that may be. You have got to believe that. I have to believe it. That's faith. Faith in God. And faith in God saves. If your problem is fear, He promises peace. If your problem is loneliness, He promises fellowship with Himself and with His Son, Jesus Christ. If your problem is guilt, He offers forgiveness and freedom to live. If your problem is sickness, He promises health of mind and spirit to take whatever is temporal, knowing that what is yet unseen is the eternal. If your problem is death, He gives life. Jesus Christ died. It was a real death He died. He was raised from the dead, and He lives. That resurrected life the Son of God shares with you. This is the grace of God, sufficient for everything. God's strength made perfect in human weakness. What hunger of yours remains unsatisfied at the moment? What anxiety plagues you? What awful defeat troubles you? What discouragement, failure, guilt, or sadness has you in chains? There is strength for all of that. God is gracious. He really is. Guaranteeing His grace is Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is alive. God waits on the other side of that weakness of yours. With His strength, He really does. Be at peace, my friend, with faith in God. That's the way to live, in peace. As the man had peace who prayed and prayed and then finally received the answer of God Himself. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. He tells us how he felt when that got through to him. Much more, therefore, said Paul, will I rejoice in my infirmities, for when I am weak, then am I strong. If that isn't a new way to live, I'd like to know what is. Amen.